Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There was a massive warehouse that was a nightclub. And then from that nightclub to anything that resembled safety was 20 minutes.
That's where Deja Vu was as well.
Yeah, like it was 20-minute walk, 20? Run.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing to, like, I'm going to get on a bus or a train. Yeah. So it's 20 minutes. And someone just starts shooting. This is the Dope Black Dad podcast. My name is Marvin Harrison. Today we are joined by Taser Black, by Jason Black, Romantha Boyta, and Darwood Grace.
Yeah.
So also we got sent in a dilemma this week. It's funny because this one was so good, and I sent this to a couple of people, and I was talking to them because actually I've never really thought of it. Yeah. So it says, "Hi there. I'm a white 16-year-old currently in a relationship with a full black. I don't know why they say full black. 17-year-old girl." They are quite against me. The parents are quite against me. We have been dating for 5 months and things are quite serious. My parents like her. So that means his white parents like her, but her parents do not like me. How do I, as a white boy, win her black parents over?
Learn how to cook jollof.
Do you know what? I can't even lie to you. That whole setup is... It always happens. Like, I'm allowed in your house. You're not allowed in mine. Yeah. Like, of course your parents are going to like me. I'm in your house, but you're not coming to mine. So,
did you ever get that conversation of who to bring home?
I never brought anyone home. But my mum and dad made it a thing to say she has to be Nigerian and she has to be Yoruba.
Yeah. Till this day?
Nah, now it's more relaxed. My daughter's mixed, so they've accepted that. But at the time, it was definitely... Nigerian. I'm like, where are they? Where are they? Because they're just bare yardies here, boy. Bare Jamaicans here.
You were just overlooking them. That's what
they were always there. Tell me Topic was here, bro. My class was full of them, bro.
Telling you. In Northwest. You didn't care about Sylvia.
In Northwest. Nah. In Harlesden, Northwest.
No, that's Jamaica City.
Yeah.
What about you, Jay? Did you ever have a stipulation of who to bring home?
Nah, I don't think so. Like, I'm trying to remember, you know. Nah.
So if you brought home like a white woman, it'd be just like, hey.
Do you know, like, so my family is quite diverse anyway. So it's like, there's never been an issue with anyone that's entered the family. As long as, I think the biggest thing is just your morals and your respect. Once that's there, if there is anything, it's overlooked. But I've never seen an issue in my family with anyone entering. Same. Only if someone didn't have no manners.
Do you know what? I think this is a Jamaicanism, you know, because there's a particular way which you have to come across. And my mom's super okay with anyone.
Yeah.
But the second you come outside the values, it's like,
no. That's what I'm saying. And that goes for, that's a black girl, that's a white girl, that's anyone. Like, not to say, I've not brought home a diverse mix. So I've not experienced it, but I've seen it in my family. And it's literally like, she could be a black girl. If she's not up to par, then she's got to go. Or, you know, white girl, same thing. Chinese, Asian, anyone. So it is just literally boils down to, you know, your morals and respect.
One thing I will add is we need to expand. Or obviously we can't because it's already been sent in, but black is very... vague.
He said full.
Yeah.
No, I know, but Caribbean and African is different. So in my house,
100%.
Why are you even talking about relationships at 17?
That's
how we're looking at. Like,
you're a teenager and you've been dating for 5 months and it's serious now, please.
What are you even talking about?
She probably hasn't even told her parents.
Yeah.
that she has a boyfriend and you want to meet them. Do you know what I mean? So That's how, it's one of them ones where it's like,
yeah.
And then also bringing a boy back home as a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit different. Yeah, so like, yeah, like to like what you said, I think for him, how you kind of approaches it, I think he just has to wait it out. Because like Tay said, she's not even told anyone what's going on. Like, this is just you and her happening. Like, you've told your parents and this all the thing, but... No, no, you said that they don't like her, innit? So they already...
Yeah, they know of
her. They don't like him.
Yeah, they don't like him. Already so the already idea aware. Of him is not okay.
Yeah.
I guess he's still, present to that. Yeah, you got to wait and just kind of warm in, I guess.
But I think all of us as 17-year-olds, yeah, if we think back knowing what we know now as 17, were any of those relationships realistically going to be alive today?
No, I didn't want to meet. I didn't want to meet anyone's parents.
So I feel like almost.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm knocking your door. What? No.
Yeah, I was trying not to do that, but it, sometimes
you were trying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you couldn't escape sometimes because some people are just overly keen for you to come in.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, all right, cool. But I was all right though because parents liked me, man. I'll be honest.
Now, parents liked me, but.
I got a funny story here, but I don't know if I can share it.
It involves me and Jay's UK, that's why.
That's fine.
Share it. Even better.
Really?
Yeah. You guys used to whisper it out and figure out if that's okay.
It was time ago, but there was one time we've gone to a rave and we've been invited back to an after party at some girl's house. But we didn't know it was a girl's house when we got there. So only when we got there, we're like, wait. Are your parents going to be okay with this? And she was like, yeah, cool. I was like, okay. So we're in the yard 3 a.m.
What's the nationality of this woman? Right, vaguely.
I can't remember, but the dad was white because the dad came downstairs 3 a.m. We're in the living room and we've all frozen.
But I was like,
no, you're upstairs chilling.
Hey,
I'm with the man there.
many years ago.
He had his go-to fan at the time.
Yeah, man,
he's chilling.
I'd worked today.
Well, the rest of us are downstairs. Like, I think it's me, it's Manga, there's a couple other men. Yeah, the dad's walked downstairs and he's literally turned on the light and gone, "You right, lads?" 3 a.m. Every single one of us muttered under our breath, yeah. This dad's a dickhead, man. Yeah. 3 a.m, there's 5 black faces in your living room and you've gone, "You're right, lads." My dad would have kicked off everyone's face. What are you doing in my yard at 3 a.m? But it was a girl that invited us over. So it was a bit like I felt like at the time, if it was a dude, it would have been like, "All right, cool, he's brought his man then back." But a girl was invited, 5 or 6
boys.
Man.
Hey, where was this?
North London. I'll tell you. Yeah. I'll tell you the rest after. All right,
cool.
That's the second time I bucked you.
Right.
Yeah.
What are you gonna say?
Funny. Wow. But them dads there, I don't know how they just how they're okay with that. That's
mental.
Yeah. All right, Dawood, do you have any more advice for this young person?
If you really truly love her, because that's 16, 17, you can't see 5 minutes in front of your face sometimes. Mm-hmm. So if you really truly love her, then stick it out and be consistent with your behavior. If you think this is going to last, I don't think it's going to last.
Wait in the long weeds.
What about you, Ro?
Wait in the long weeds. That's all I say.
Sorry to cut, but you know, if I'm him, I'm fucking it all up. Sorry, can I swear?
Yeah.
I'll beep it all up. I'll fuck it off. Because that is definitely one of my main things when I meet a girl.
Mm.
And it's always been that from when I was young. If your family can't dig me,
it's long.
I can't dig you either. Because I think, even if I'm not trying to do long term, I think long term if the worst happens.
Yeah.
If we start getting caught up in this thing and we're...
That's the worst happening.
I love all of the common language that he uses.
Right, so... I know that was kind of weird. So anyway. It's got to be like... I look at people's family to see what they represent and your representation of your family somewhat, do you get what I'm saying? Mm. So it's like, you know, if we're caught in for whatever, the few months, whatever, you're going to show me whatever you need to show me. But your family are going to show me what I need to see.
I think
it's very much a cultural thing as well because black people do not allow their children to have boyfriend, girlfriends when they're in school. And even when you're in university, it's like, finish your degree. And it's like, first go get a job. So, and then you get a job and it's like, you just started working, work for yourself. And then it's like, oh, is he going to marry you? So there's so many, for women, there's for girls, there's so many prerequisites before you can even date in your family as an African or as a black person. Mm. So it is a cultural thing. Whereas I think with other races, it's easier. because they allow more freedoms, and we don't allow those freedoms. Yeah. So I don't even think it has, might not have anything to do with him as a white boy. Yeah, it might just be you're not dating at 16.
Yeah. And so, I don't think I will say you're not dating. I just say I'm not prepared to acknowledge anybody until a certain age or a certain time has gone past. Because knowing what I know now, like all my relationships before my marriage, I don't even reference them. They're not even... I think also when you get married and you still got girlfriends, that just sounds nuts. Like it's not
lady friends.
It's not even on the same level. It's like the level you go to in marriage is so high that you talk about the time when you was with someone for 6 months that you might would say was my girlfriend before that. That doesn't even land as a sentence now. These are just like nice people that marriage. I know. Yeah, like you can't.
6 months. We
I also don't acknowledge anyone I dated under 21.
Yeah, it's just like I think those relationships are the starter pack. You can't take those ones.
Nah, it's just because I wasn't doing anything.
I was just kissing and holding hands.
But do you think some parents have that because they think their child's like going absolutely wild with sex and stuff?
No, but even if you are, I don't think I can block that. I think once you figure out sex is a thing. And then there's a niceness to it. You're not stopping
there's
anyone.
There's a niceness to it.
You're not stopping anyone. Like the first time I had sex, you weren't undoing that knowledge ever. And I was going to engineer that as a part of my future no matter what.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, I'm not saying I won't be respectful, but to sit there and be like, come in my house and stay over and come for dinner. And it's like, I think keep your relationship out in the realm. And like, it doesn't need to be a part of my life. Like I think it's a different thing, and again, it's a work in peace. But I feel like
was that you as the boyfriend or the
me as the dad? Like I think that you can respect that they have someone in their life and they care about. I don't mind meeting the person, but I don't want to be involved in a relationship. Like we talked about, would you let your 17-year-old's daughter's boyfriend sleep over?
Oh, I was literally thinking. I was going to ask a question. Yeah,
yeah. Which is like for me, it's just like
you've all got daughters, so that's a real question.
It will come up.
Think about it. I'm already thinking about it.
Yeah, and in the practical sense,
what's your answer?
I don't know yet. It depends on my child, innit? Because as parents, you know your child better than anything, so you know what kind of child you have. You know if it's an idiot, and you're gonna love it same way. Your parents know more than you think, innit? Mm. So you're gonna know if he or she is not capable of handling themselves, conducting themselves. Like they're rough still around the edges.
Mm.
Or you know if your child is on point and is, you know, thinking and these things. So I think you kind of gauge it from. So now I can't really. I don't know what I'll do. But as she gets older and I can figure out how she's moving, then I can make.
I know that if I had a daughter, the first thing I'd be thinking is how conniving I was at a young age, and I'd be trying to protect her against conniving guys like me. And that
would breed
the fear. Mm-hmm. But the truth is,
when you say protect her, are you equipping her with all the knowledge, or are you just protecting her?
No, equipping her with the knowledge. Like I remember telling my nieces, make him wait. Mm. You will see his true colors if he has to wait.
Mm. But don't you think the waiting game just turns into like a
challenge?
A challenge. Like they'll just wait in the long weeds until you're ready. And then once it's done, they're like, that was it. Like,
they're not waiting in the long weeds doing nothing. They're doing their other things.
Yeah. I have some quick fire questions to round up this episode that we're doing. So just the shortest answer that you can come up with, assuming possible. So the first one is the first time you had the, oh shit, I'm really a dad moment. Like what was that?
Walking in Dalston and it hitting me when he was about 5 days old, and I sat down not in the middle of the road but on the curb, and a bus could have just ran over my foot. It just hit me like, oh my dad, shit. It was a panic attack, but I was still just to let it pass.
What was the fear?
It weren't fair. It was just like, rah, I'm a dad.
Mm.
So, and I froze, but I sat down. So I didn't faint because I felt like that was where it was heading.
Mm.
And then I remember getting up going, yeah, I'm a dad. And walking off. And I haven't looked back since. So, yeah.
What about you, Tez?
I think for me, it's more when I have to do something that I don't want to do.
Mm.
And it's... an example would be, I think when I had my daughter from very young, even though it was an issue at the time, because again, we weren't together. So and we barely knew each other. So, but in hindsight, this is a woman who's having to give a child that she's carried for 9 months to some stranger, essentially, to look after. But it's just as much mine as she is yours. You know what I mean? So there's a time where, I think when she was about 2, maybe 3 years old, where she left her teddy at her mum's house. She wouldn't stop crying. Wouldn't stop crying. And I'm like, I'm looking at her like, wait, you want me to drive all the way back to North London to get this teddy? You're already here. Like, we'll get it tomorrow. She's not. I phoned her mum, say, yo, do you reckon you can drive and drop it? Nope. I've already done what I had to do. I'm in my yard. So I'm looking at my daughter like, I got to go to North London. So I had to drive all the way to North London to pick up one teddy, you know? And as soon as I gave her the teddy, the smile on her face, I said, that's what you did it for, man.
That's
what you did it for.
But you know, the flip side to that is she's probably imbued you with trust that you will always come through for her in the clutch from a young age.
Yeah, I didn't think of it like that.
What about you, Jay? Have you had your moment yet?
I don't know, you know, because it's so new, so fresh. I feel like every day I wake up right now, I'm looking at her. Because I think at this stage as well, she's changing every day, it seems like. So more hair, more weight, more length.
Can you see who she looks like yet?
It's so down the middle, I feel like. She looks like my mum as well sometimes. And then, so it's all changing. So I like when I think in the mornings when I wake up, and I look over, I'm like, rah, that's mad.
Do you ever forget? I had moments where I'd forget that there's, like, I'm a dad.
Seriously?
Just like, you're just doing your stuff in the day. You don't think about it.
Not now, because I'm not doing anything. I don't think because I'm literally at home at the moment. So I think maybe if there's time when I'm really stacked and I'm about and I'm up and down the town and I got to do stuff, I don't know. But nah, not yet. I ain't really experienced that yet. But waking up in the morning, looking at her, thinking, yeah. Or like I said, when I said earlier, when she's just away from me for an hour or so, whatever it is, I'm just staring at pictures in my phone. Do you get what I'm saying? Wow. It's like, yeah, it's mad. So, nah, I ain't had that real major, I don't think, yet.
You know what's a sick moment that you're going to experience? You're going to be like, that's sick, man. When she lets you know that she knows your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my dad. Yeah. Like for me,
sometimes I think it happens when, you know, like you do something, some googly stuff, and then she reacts to it. You think, oh.
She knows you are. Nah. That feel is a sick little thing.
Oh my God. Like, look.
So, all right. Yeah. Next one is, is there a TV show or a song that your child is into that you slyly think bangs and you would listen to or watch without them?
Well, I've been fortunate. My son likes Brighter Tomorrow by, it's like an old school R&B tune. He likes Celebrate by Kool & the Gang. He likes jazz music. So it's not been like a tune. But the one thing I hate is Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
I can't stand that program.
That was a quick phase for me, boy. Quick in and out.
he's still on it. Like,
Paw Patrol, Peppa Pig, Daniel's Tiger. There's a couple. Peppa Pig I had to ban.
Yeah, because she's rude,
she's
man.
She's rude. Yeah, I'm hearing.
She's rude. No, she's rude.
And the dad is stupid.
I ain't watched it yet, but like, this is what I'm
doing. No, she's rude. So avoid it. And then the things that I've noticed with my daughter when she was growing up in those years, they kind of take on their voices as well.
Yeah.
So they start sounding like them. I don't want no one in my house sounding like Peppa Pig.
Yeah, man.
But my oldest son, Incredibles. Okay. Anytime he waited to watch a movie, he was like, yeah, let's watch Incredibles. And I sat through that film. So then when the second one came out, like me and him went to watch it in cinema and I thought, oh, he'd be too old for this. But he's like, no, Dad, we're going to watch it. Because he remembered how many times we watched it when he was a youth.
Yeah, she's my cinema partner when it comes to, because I like animation.
Yeah.
I actually still like kids' movies. So she's my cinema partner. Anytime there's a
new
movie out.
Keep that going. Yeah, like me and my son went through the whole Marvel phase one.
Yeah, it's sick.
And
it's
like,
nice,
we're still going to some of them. But now he's like, yeah, that's not cinema.
You should go see, have you seen the Super Pets? DC one?
No.
That's a good one. That looked good.
It's cold. Cold.
How was the Marvel thing that you went to? Was it good?
No. It was not a good film.
How was it not?
Yeah. Which one? The new one?
They gave us some tickets to go, but I was meant to do a review, but I was going to ask you, let's not.
It weren't a good film.
Last one, if you had a dinner, so let's fill up all the seats around the table, you're by yourself, you get to invite 4 influential dad figures just to learn code from. Like, could be TV characters, real dads. Who are you going to have that conversation? Table right now. Yeah, fair.
100% taking this table
right now. Ramapha's an amazing dad.
Yes, high five. Uncle Phil, but he's not here.
No, but that still works.
Mm. Yeah. Michael Carr for the jokes.
Mm.
Malcolm in the Middle's dad. I don't know why I can't remember his name. And that. And then Obama.
Mm.
And that. I don't care what you think about that guy politically, but as a dad, like, he said one thing, and I was like, oh, if I had daughters, that's what I would do. But basically, he said that I'm the president running the world, and I'd go upstairs, and I just have to shut up and listen to everyone else's day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's why you got big ears. You're a listener.
Mm.
And that, for me, that's his biggest skill, is how he listens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so just...
What about you, Taze? Who would you want to sit down with?
As a dad?
Mm. Well, it also bleeds into a man as well, because I suppose those two things overlap, like, they're interconnected.
I ain't going to lie. I haven't thought about that, you know.
Kanye West?
Yo, that's a clip, by the way. You know that's going to end up on your clip, isn't it? Well, dad, we just hit that Kanye West.
Nah, it's a difficult one, though.
But he's a good dad, though.
Really, I'm saying
he looks like a good dad.
You never know. He might.
That's the thing. That's the thing as well. Everyone looks a certain way. I can't just be.
Yeah.
So I can't be in my yard inspired by someone I don't know.
But I guess if we're going off of like just what we see, like, you know, like I said,
on the surface,
Michael
Carr.
Mm. Marco's definitely there.
He's definitely there. I'll say Desmond.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely Desmond, because obviously that era, they've just gone and seen everything in it. Mm. So
that wisdom.
And you know, like, as you get older, you start understanding why old boy doesn't talk a lot, can't bother.
Yeah.
Ignores you. Mm. Ignores everyone some days. You know, that like, you start understanding that. Do you know what I mean?
So, yo, you think you're going to be that sort of old man?
It can definitely go that way. Because you understand it. It's not even personal. But like, once you start trying to get on to, like, once you start asking them questions, like, what? And that's when it gets personal for them. You start getting on their nerves because they just want to be quiet.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, why don't you talk? Or granddad or dad. Like,
you're
jarring that.
Yeah, yeah,
so then you're going to be like, he's going to tell you to sit down or go away.
Yeah.
And you're going to take that part as like, oh, this guy, man. But really, the world is a lot for him. Mm. He's seen so much, done so much, been through so much. He has to watch his shit news every day. Like he's seen this cycle of news every 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
Like the same, you know what I mean? So he's just
tired.
He's done.
Do you remember how excited and like wide-eyed you were when you first wanted to enter the industry?
Yeah.
And then you realized, what?
I spent as much time away from it as possible.
Nah, for real.
I genuinely think one of the biggest privileges I have is that I don't need to do anything. Like, I don't need to go to that party, speak to that person. I remember when I was younger, if there was anything being done by someone famous, like, I would queue. I would go.
You queue up for them Diddy parties?
Bro, I listen. Hey. Whoa.
Hey.
Hey.
And you know Diddy at the party.
Bro, you killed me. You killed the whole podcast. We got to delete the podcast. We got Cosby in it and Diddy. We're going to delete this whole thing, this whole file. I never forget, like, there was, like, remember when Reggie first used to do his parties, the Trading Places ones?
Yeah,
and I was like,
I missed that window, you know?
Yo, it was an incredible experience.
No, but I missed that window. Yeah. What's that venue called again in West London?
What, West London?
Yeah. There was you were doing venues there as well. It's on Kensal Road?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I can't remember what it's called, but
that's
it's definitely not there now.
Spartans.
Yes.
That's what he was doing, the Spartan ones. And then when him and A-Side linked up, they started doing Trading Places.
Yes.
Oh, okay,
The first ones, when it was Spartans and the early Trading Places, I didn't know them well enough to just be guaranteed. It was always a connect that would be the one to get you in.
You knew me.
But for what? What do you mean?
Well, I've got to take a little bit of credit for Trading Places.
Really? 100%. I don't know the story. So you have to tell me.
Basically, A-Side and Reggie, A-Side never used to like Reggie.
Mm.
And Reggie was like, oh, dog, why doesn't he like me? And I was like, dude, I don't know. You're so similar. So I started telling A-Side, like, dude, you need to, like, look after the younger brothers in the industry.
Mm.
And that. So then they met. Literally, I said that to A-Side on a Thursday. Dizzy had a vigil on a Saturday. And they ended up speaking.
Mm.
But I think it's only because I told A-Side that you have to be a bit more.
Mm.
And from that, training places come.
So I don't even think I even knew that. But like, I think there was a point where I would go and I'd queue. Like, I would proper sit there and queue and wait. Mm. And then, like, you'd be like, oh, there's more people than there is space inside. Is it worth sticking? I used to do all that. I wouldn't even dare. Like, if I drive past places and it's long.
Yeah.
And
I have to drive past a venue before I go to it.
Yeah.
I can't just, oh, yeah, I know where it is. I'm going to park up. And I just walk around.
Yeah, not knowing.
No way. I have to look at what's going on outside. Yeah.
And the thing is, I know my presence isn't worth the extra levels of care that I need for me to go to this thing. So I just don't bother. Like, it's just like, I'm at that place. But feeling like at the point in my early 20s where you needed to be there. Like, I remember the wireless party that Reg did, actually. And it was like, Mr. Hudson, Kanye West, Jeezy. It was just mad. Like, Mr. Hudson was on the piano.
Yeah.
With Kanye rapping Gold Digger or whatever. Yeah, like, it was mad. I queued for that for an hour after wireless.
Everyone queued.
Yeah.
After wireless. Yeah. I would never dare do that now. Right. There's no way.
Yeah.
I forgot the actual question what I was going through, to be fair. But yeah, so I think the...
Who would you invite for dinner?
I think, like, for me, Jay-Z doing... my thing is about doing 50. I want to know, how do you navigate 40 to 50 in a successful way? That's my big question now. Being close to your family, like, not going bankrupt, not going to jail, or being cancelled. Like, the negative side of it, how do you do that? Because for so many, specifically black men, you're just seeing stuff about them that, like... For me, Will Smith, it makes me sad where he's at right now. And much of it is, like, I understand where his truth is, but people didn't want it. And he was trying to give it and be like, look at the life I'm living and what the truth is. And people were like, we didn't want to know. We liked it when you were far away, successful, distant, happily in your marriage. We didn't want to know about whatever you were up to.
That's the thing, though. It's navigating that balance now, isn't it? Because obviously we've come through such an era of you have to be accessible. Off the back of being elusive.
Yeah.
Because that was...
The previous era.
Yeah. That, so it's like, yeah, but now you can't afford to be either or. Like, there's a balance that you need to figure out to try and... I think that's where I'm at, to be fair.
Yeah.
Definitely that. I'm just trying to not be everywhere, but you have to...
Have impact somewhere. And be connected to something.
I mean, just even with the work that I do, innit, and my business and things like that. So, yeah, it is a challenge.
It's a real one. So, I think Jay-Z, and I'd like to hear Will Smith's versions up close. I have different questions for him. I don't really care about the salacious side. Mm. For me, it's like, what now, in his view? Because I feel like... I think the Chris Rock thing is such a low... And how the world sees you compared to how they saw you before, you can't really get any lower. And I think you meet men at their best when they hit their floor. Mm. When they hit the floor of their life and they're like, the only thing I got to do is I got to grab my life now and make it make sense. He's also had a very clear vision about his marriage. And like, even though it's not a romantic marriage, it's we're going to keep it together. So what, why and what? I think some of it maybe was slightly toxic, but I think it's an interesting concept, one that many people aren't committed to. I'm going to be committed to my wife no matter what happens. Mm. That no one's doing that in this era. This era is a what about me era. So it's like, that's a really big idea.
Isn't there like things we don't know? Like, wasn't there like a question of whether they have an open relationship and is there stuff that like we don't know?
So I think those things
like, that can't be explained.
Yeah, but I agree with Marvin. Like that salacious side of them, I've never really cared about. How they've stuck together like for this long. Because I think one of the hardest things to do in this life. Is have a successful relationship.
Well, I think the only reason we're made to care about it is because it's been brought to our attention through August Alcinas and all these things.
But the question was hovering before. But I think it's not, you know, because wherever it happens, it happens. But for what I know and what I've observed, that happens more than people let on. It's just kept private and no one has an interest in Dave's life and what he does on weekends. So it matters to them because people looked at them and looked up to them and their lifestyle as to what they had, rightly or wrongly. So I think he has information in his journey that I think needs an intimate setting. I'd love to know more. Same thing for Jay-Z, because he broke his relationship down and rebuilt it. Mm. Had to move to LA, as he said, buy a new ring. He'd start again. I think there's information. Obama, I think, has similar information. And I feel like for me, I don't have that access to that information. Mm. I can't think of men over 55 that I genuinely want to sit with that is in my life and hear what their stories are. Mm. Like, I just don't have it. Like, most of the men over 55 that I know, I've surpassed them in so many different ways a lot of the things that they don't even feel comfortable sitting there talking to me. And that's another thing I observed. Like, can they even sit there and be like,
energy?
Yeah, like this is what they don't want to do it. They look at me and they feel, I see there's almost like a reverence. And I don't want the reverence. I want the information. I want the code of like, what did you observe with your adult children versus like what you invested in your teens? Did it feel the way you thought it was going to feel? Because my parenting journey is like, it didn't feel good in the beginning. I was like, what is this? Like, I came out like, yes, I'm a dad. This is so exciting. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So much energy. And every day, it just was like, why am I here?
But is that a selfishness? Is that because you wasn't fulfilled in what you was doing outside of it?
It's more just like you, for me, I wanted a family. Like I wanted to feel like I was in a family and feel connected to something bigger than just what I do every day. So I was excited. I was gassed more than excited. Like I was over the world. And so when I was going through it day to day, I was like, okay, this is not quite nice. And this is not a nice experience. And that was a bit rude. And like that healthcare person was just ignored me when I was talking to him about my child. And like this person's family just came around and then just sent me out to the shop. And like, no one's really spoken to me, asked me how I'm doing today. Like just bare like chipping away.
It's not about you, boy.
Yeah. And it's like, it's little, but when you do it for like 3 years, 4 years, 6 years, and it just keeps on happening with everyone. You're just like, yo. So then I just started finding my own vibes anywhere. Like, what are you on? Like, now you're outside more than you're inside. And then there was a day where I was like, why am I not more into my family? That doesn't make sense to me. Like, I remember being on a bus, and absurd as it sounds, I was crying saying like, I want to have children now. I'm ready. Like, I've done everything else I want to do. We're married. Let's have kids. And that whole experience for like 5-6 years just didn't make sense.
Right.
So when I started asking other men, this is when we created a group. It's the first time I'd heard a man talk about his family, not how much money he made, what the things he was doing, the girl that he was chatting to. It was family. And it was a very consistent experience. Like, yeah, it's a bit mad still. Like it doesn't quite, it's not really a very inviting experience. It's a little bit like you just got to be strong, consistent, stable. And I'm like, but that's not human though. Like, no, you're not getting fed anything. So so I got fed a lot from the other men in that period of time, but I also know that wasn't sustainable. So I just spent years in therapy, like 5 years, with these questions, like what is family? How does experience need to be? And in the end, it's like, there's a structural social thing that happens with fathers. Like as a dad, you're not someone's husband anymore. You're their dad to their child. So they're looking at you as if you're the dad and you're not the husband anymore. So that whole relationship and dynamic disappears. And if you don't behave like how their vision of a dad should be, you aren't a good dad.
Oh, listen.
He's got something.
In the early days, I remember this, there'll be times where my daughter's mum would call me and say I should do something. And I'm listening to what she's telling me to do. I'm like, is that you or is that her? This sounds like you. This isn't her. Because whenever I have her, she's never brought this up.
She's never brought this up.
Like, I have her. In the early days, which was very frustrating, she used to talk to me as if it was a business deal. As in, we're going in 50-50. Let me make sure your side in the investment is cool. So I'm like, but when she's with me, she's not telling me all of this that you're telling me. So now that she's older, my daughter's more vocal now. She can tell me what she wants. Now she can't come and do the back thing where it's like, I think you should do this because this is what she wants. Mia, what do you want?
Yeah.
I didn't say anything to mum, daddy.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But before that, I think dad should do this and dad should do that. And I was on Twitter and I saw this. I'm like, what's that got to do with me?
I
totally see what you're saying.
I just found that and this is something that I'm now starting to practice more now, is that in every room, I have to be the dad. It's an emotional, psychological thing rather than a literal thing. Like, people need to have that feeling of like, you're a good dad to me in this moment. So I changed the way I energetically how I move. Because I was just like, fun vibes, let's have a bust a joke, let's chat here, we're going to play fight, I'm going to wrestle, and then I'm going to go and take a nap. Like that, you know, I'm just here doing covering my bases, thinking that it's about like me and what I'm contributing. And like, as I've grown, I've understood it's about how you energetically create a space for the mother to lead that particular phase of. Now, and especially in the early stages, so your job is to create space and energy and mood around your family. And if you are erratic, volatile, loud, if you take your kid up to 10 from wrestling and then just disappear, man, now people unfair. Have to deal with what you just created. So you can't do that. And so this like very stoic energy, people want that. And I would say feminine energies want that still. So all the modernness in everything that everyone's talking about isn't literal when it comes to the delivery of it. It's different. People will say like, oh, I want a man to be involved and blah, 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 blah. But not a man to be involved in a way that he understands. Yeah. I want a man to be involved in the way that I understand and I need, which is a different thing.
What so, you're saying, is that a problem?
I'm saying I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm saying that that's difficult because you're now doing an act.
It needs time, yeah, to figure
you're
out.
You're an act. We all just said, that Michael Carl is our ideal. That's vibes. It's funny. I'm coming in. I gave you a lesson. I told you what to do. I disciplined you. I'm also listening to you, but I'm also laughing at you. Yeah. Like, that's us. What is wanted of us is way more Uncle Phil. Provide, do the discipline. Like there's still, but it's way more. So take Uncle Phil, dial it up more. They just want consistency and stability. They want safety, provision. But
that's Michael Carr though as well.
No, but
I wouldn't say I think it's the type of woman. A type of woman have different. There's different styles that a woman's gonna want. Like, I don't think what you're gonna expect from a man is gonna be the same as another woman. Like in terms of what you're saying, do you get what I mean? I feel like probably your experience was that. I don't necessarily feel like that's every woman's gonna come at it like that. Do you get what I'm saying?
Well, I'll make it just about me. I felt that it was more about the safety structure and provision was being measured rather than my overall contribution. And so when I was asked to give more, I was like, I'm giving loads.
Yeah.
What more do you want? Like, this is you've got this, that, this, and then you just want more of this. So I felt like I had to narrow my personality and I put all my energy into these narrow ways of being a dad. And then that was really respected. But when I expanded and I was like, I wanted to contribute or I wanted to do things that were traditionally more what a mother would be focused on too, it became a problem. And it's not even just her. I felt like it was family members, extended, it was friends, what they expect of Marvin. So it was never explicitly said. It was like, yeah, do whatever you want. But like when you do what you want, it's like, don't really do that.
Yeah, do this.
And so I think you can be as successful as a man in that environment if you're just making sure the environment of the house is safe and secure. You're making sure no one has to worry about finances and bills and when the money is coming and any of those types of things. And you cover your ground with time with the child. That's all they want. But that's not all of us. That's not the whole of us and what we have to offer. So I don't think there's a genuine space to be your full self as a dad, realistically, right now. It's a very female normative experience. Very, very female normative experience. And it's the only female normative experience, but it is the one. So as you try to contribute to it more, you'll come up with weird little challenges of when you're dealing with people that like they're rejecting sides of you that you, as you said, you just have to be like, why are we doing that? You're not meant to ask why you're doing it. She's asked. Like, if you're providing and it's like, could you go do this and drive me here and take this and lift that, fix that thing, you're just meant to fix it. You're not meant to sit there and rationalize with her with what you think. You're just meant to do it. Yeah. That's what creates the safety of the space, is like, what I need gets taken care of. And I feel like when you bring yourself into a scenario when men historically have never been invited, I have something to say. Like, there's no other room in the world where you'd be invited into and you're not meant to fully contribute your thoughts.
Yeah. You know what? I tell you what I don't like. I don't like fixing what I didn't break.
I'll be honest. I lied to you. You got 18 years of that.
Yeah.
No. Because what you're saying, like, I can fix... I definitely don't have no problem with fixing what needs to be, like, I don't know, the doors hanging off or something, wear and tear, whatever.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If, like, you're doing something that's creating this thing, and then I'm supposed to do, like, I'm supposed to do that. I don't know, man. And that's before kids, anything like that, just in general. I'm just like, well, I know how I like to live. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like mess, so I don't make mess. Do you get what I'm saying? So I will keep things at a minimal, so it don't clutter.
Yeah.
So no, yeah, you're right. Because I've never been in my yard where my daughter's made it messy, and okay, then you're cleaning it up.
Yeah, I've
been to people's houses, not talk people's business, but I'm like,
why is your yard so messy?
And
why
then your yarding? Excuse is, I have a child. No, that doesn't matter. Listen. Like, yeah. What's the truck doing in the toilet? Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
the truck in the toilet.
Like, I don't get it. But that is them until, like, the child goes to sleep and then they clean up. And then before you know it, it's 11 p.m. and they're like, oh my God, being a parent is long. I'm like, but they could have been a bit more order throughout the day.
I just like simplicity. Do you know what I mean? I just feel like keep things simple, and obviously in the long run, you're gonna, you know, I don't even know the word, but just keep it simple.
I think what happens is when you're the whole point of family is like creating that, you're gonna have to make concessions to many of those ideas. And this is what I'm saying, the clarity of your role. No one explicitly tells you, but there is almost like a natural leaning into be here and do this.
Do you know what? I actually, honestly, sorry to cut you. I don't mind, you know. I feel proud to do certain things where it's like now, yeah, you're expected to kind of do this and do that. It's different for me because I've just lived.
Yeah, by yourself.
Like this forever. Do you know what I mean? So now, like, it just feels like, right, you know what? There is a responsibility and I definitely don't mind it. Like, I don't mind, oh, can you do that? Like, someone leans on me to have to take care of something. I just feel like, oh, you need me. Like, if I'm...
That part is cool. It's just the unspoken part.
Right.
And then when you're saying, like, all right, so now I'm involved in, like, fixing stuff, I have an idea. I want to change this to blue.
That's
cool. So one of the things that I regularly question, I actually had this podcast with Poet and Pops, who used to play NBA. We did, like, a two-hour podcast together on this topic here. And it's just the experience of growing up in a working class, almost a state culture, or just around in those areas, and then navigating into like a man now. And how much of that is still in you? Like, there's certain days, like if I watch Top Boy, I become a 16-year-old person. I just become that person. I move differently. I look at people differently. I genuinely feel like my body changes watching an episode because there's so much... Obviously, it's filmed in Hackney as well, which doesn't help. But there's so much of those things that happen to me, around me, that it changes my like my makeup for a period of time. But still certain times, like I just think, I think there was one time where someone was talking to me disrespectfully, let's say. And there was a part of me that was just like, who do you think you're talking to? And I just became this person. It's like, that person's never really left. Like, it's there and it quiets and it kind of goes very long periods of never really arising. But like, I don't think people understand as like young black men or even just as black men, where we came from to be here, polite, respectful, like doing legitimate things to make money. And so when you talk to me weird or you behave disrespectfully, I'm just like, I wish you knew. Like, how do you navigate? Like,
do you know what I do now? Because I don't think that's ever going to change that feeling. But what I've learned to do is ignore you. Like, for your sake, really.
Do you know how cheeky that is?
No.
The way you said it is just is mad cheeky. I like it though.
Because you can't really fool. You can't get drawn out. Not at this stage. Do you get what I'm saying? So people do think people won't even know when they've been locked off. Like they wouldn't even. Like I would just keep it so clean, smooth. Do you know what I mean? So it's like even down to the other day, right? So I sent a deck to someone. I sent a deck about something. I get a message from someone else. Oh, your deck's landed on my deck. Who did this? Was that you or did someone else do it? I thought. That's it. I'm not even talking no more. Forget the deck. Forget. Forget
what,
the idea.
What about that annoyed you? What about that annoyed you?
He's such a small boy.
Did you? I've sent it to you. Yeah. So yeah. What? What does it even matter?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The point is, the deck is about something to do. Like whether we. What does it matter who's done it?
Yeah.
So I'm like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
I said. Forget this.
No, I hear it.
We ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. That person doesn't even know.
Yeah.
They don't even know, but we're not doing this.
Yeah.
I hear it. But that's how I deal with things. Like stupidness. I can't meet the foolishness because the way I'm gonna react to it is you're gonna just.
It's now a story.
You're not gonna like it, maybe. I'm not wayward. I'm not gonna start swearing at you, or whatever. But I'm gonna ask you, what's that got to do with it? Just that simple question, and you're probably gonna get offended by that. Now I think, keep your hair on. It's a legit question. What's also, that got to do with it?
What I don't like also in scenarios like that is that when you chucked it, it was fine. Now I'm chucking it back. All of a sudden, it's a problem.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
And
I guess it's because of where we've come from. It just comes across a bit more intimidating.
Yeah.
So I remember one time we did a venue. I don't want to say the venue's name because it's just going to get political. But so when we do, I've done events for however many years. There's a certain, I know my people, I know my consumer. So when I'm telling the venue, listen, we're going to advertise 4, but we actually start at 5. So my DJs, my door girls, all that stuff, are coming at 5. The person I spoke to before in the previous email said it's okay. That person is now sick, so they can't come in on the day. So you've hired a makeshift manager for the day. Cool, but you've decided as the owner to come in as well. Now you're reading the emails. You're like, well, this can't go ahead. It's on the day. I can't change anything now. So I will see you at 6:30 because I don't go there at the beginning. Everyone knows that. It's fine. Yeah. My business partner's not even here. So the door girls will handle it till I get there. Well, you better make sure you get here early.
Whoa.
Excuse me.
All right, cool. Locked off the phone. I got to the venue and it was like, obviously the security's point of contact at first. And he's already been briefed that whenever the promoter gets here, send him straight up to the office. I said, all right, cool. So I had to go all the way upstairs to his office. I sat down. Immediately, he's already stuck it on me. I'm like, big man, is everything all right? He's like, I said, what's the problem? The night's running. Oh, but I've had to pay bartenders. I said, who was here between 4 and 5? Who was here? No one. So who told you to pay bartenders? I told you I start at 5. No one was even here, even though you opened at 4. No one was here. So what's your point? I told you I know my crowd. Well, there's something you got to do something about that. I ain't got to do nothing about that. I already told you in advance.
Yeah.
Then he goes, get out of my office. I said, hold on a second. You're not going to talk to me like that.
That's mad.
You're not going to talk to me like that because I ain't done anything wrong.
Yeah, that's
so
crazy.
Until you but say
even,
please,
even like
I ain't going
you
nowhere.
Disagree on something, to talk like that's rude now.
Yeah. So I said, until you say please, I ain't going nowhere. Little did I know, he's already sent a message to a guy who's essentially the head of security in that area. But that guy's my bridging.
Yes.
So he's phoned me and going, what are you doing over there? Because I know if someone's, if you're kicking off, someone's pissed you off. So I've explained it to him and he's like, don't worry about it. You're good. I'm not coming. So then I've looked at him. I goes, you called my man. And he goes, all of a sudden he's panicked.
He set you up, essentially.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm like, mad.
But,
and that's why you can't get drawn out because it's like a setup.
Yeah.
Like you can't do these, you can't play these games.
And I went downstairs, I went to the security, I said, listen, I'm gonna leave. The night's gonna go ahead, how it's going ahead, and it's gonna be fine. Shout me when you're done. And I left. I just left. I said, you know, and the night's done. Now he wants us back because we hit bar spin. We did a good bar spin.
One thing I'll tell you about nightlife, and I think we talked about it as we was in Artigua, is that there people do mad things to you. Just they say and do mad things and they have an incredibly high expectation of you. Because our show was like a place to go perform where there was like a guaranteed black audience, people will come with such desire to perform without the talent, respectfully. Like it just didn't make sense to put you on. And between that and I remember, and I will never name this person because they are a beautiful person, but they came and did our show. They did a great show. And then they were like, right, I want a residency. We'd never really done this before. So I was like, cool, man. You come every week. And you will, I think, close the first half, which is like great. After 2 more weeks, it's like, nah, I need to close the show. I was like, man, the style of what you do don't make sense in that half. If you're in that half, you're gonna get hammered by people because everyone's looking for headline comedy. They want to dance to Omarion or whatever. They don't want to hear what you're doing. And he got so offended by the rationale of why it wouldn't make sense. And then he got this imaginary manager guy. And then said, I need to come have a meeting with you next week, Sunday. So he turns up with this manager guy, and the manager guy is just rude. And I was like, no, you just have to understand, out of everything here and what your contribution, as sick as you are, it's not enough for me to sit here on my Sunday. Yeah. And have this. So you start talking to people slightly mad because they don't get it the first way, the calm way, the considerate way. You end up just being like, bruv, you've got no chance. And even the fact that you got me here means that I now do not want you in my show at all, no matter how good you are. And so we didn't speak for years. And we've never spoken about it. I was like, I might just ring him and just talk about it. But like, I think like that happens when you do events. And we've had people like come and threaten us and like, there's man downstairs. And we had all of those things. Yeah. And you just have to go stand there and be like, what's up? How you doing?
Some people just don't understand the responsibility. Like, yeah, your friend is a good DJ, but like, there's 500 people that I need to cater to and I'm only going to book trusted DJs. I've never heard your DJ. Do you know what? To do you a favor, because I know the girl that, we have a mutual friend, this girl, that she's cool to me. All right, cool, I'll book you. You're playing at 11:45. You're playing all the bangers. But what are you doing?
Yeah,
but if you booked me at 2 a.m., I'm not booking you at 2 a.m. You got to land on the 11 a.m., 11 p.m. to midnight first. And then you can it's long.
Yeah. I think dealing with people, and I don't want to make this a black thing, but there's definitely a black ingredient that's different. It ain't the same as how if someone's doing, like, I don't know, a club night at Cargo. Oh, Cargo's not even there. It's not there anymore, is it?
Nah.
Jeez, I was sad when I saw that. I walked past it. But you know, like you're doing a club night there, there's a particular ego and pride being affiliated to something that creates conversations that you just never would have. So yeah, I always wondered how people navigate that because we all kind of grew up in it. And then we're all here as like responsible black men, like paying people and like building things. But there's just like, there's a certain part of you that just wants to just like, let me chat to you a second. Come on.
Do you know what? That makes me think now, because this is a great conversation, because I'll sit there and think about the people we used to talk to or man would speak to or have that impatience with, the older, like, they looked at me. I've definitely been looked at and thought, who's he talking to? We've just been on that side of it. So I just guess, like you said, it's the growth. We've grown up and you just get an understanding of things. I don't think it's something that's ever going to stop. And because it just won't, innit? Like, man's been that guy and been the other guy now. So it just happens.
And some of the people that we've had to, like some of the characters we've had to deal with from where we've come from, it kind of makes dealing with some of these people a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't going to do nothing.
I've
spoken to certain men where I thought, yo.
This might be it. Honestly, I feel like once you get into a place of like, and this just sounds like a big thing, yeah, but like dealing with your mortality, like it's a question. Like, am I going to make it out of this? No, there's nothing that you can do or say to make me fear. Like, I remember one time I went to EQ. This is when I'm 16 and Miss Dynamite was performing. This is when early Dynamite first come out, when she's still just, there's not really even a song. It's just bars.
Yeah.
And we've gone to watch her, had the best night of my life. We leave EQ in Stratford and we're walking down this road. By the way, anyone who doesn't know where Hackney Wick is now, and it's this beautiful village with like buildings and glass. It was industrial estate. There was nothing there. There was a waste market where you get your fake knives from and your fake DVDs brothers, and your CDs from.
CDs, yeah.
But there was a massive warehouse that was a nightclub. And then from that nightclub to anything that resembled safety was 20 minutes.
That's where Deja Vu was as well.
Yeah, like it was 20-minute walk, 20? Run.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing to, like, I'm going to get on a bus or a train. Yeah. So it's 20 minutes. And someone just starts shooting. I don't know where it was, but I heard and saw things moving around me next to the car. Something hits the car and everyone's running down this road. Like, imagine a couple hundred people running down a road all at the same time. You look back, there's bare people running. And I was just like, this is it, isn't it? Because it's impossible. Because whoever's now they're shooting at is now in this line of running. So in my head, it's like, you can get anyone from there.
Yeah.
So we're all running. And I just sat there. I got home. And you can't tell your parents.
Yeah.
You can't go home and be like, Mom, you never guess what? Like,
because you want to go out next week.
Yeah, listen. Yeah. So I realized that actually this is just it. And you have moments like that where you're genuinely considering your mortality and you go into the world and you're like, this is infinitely better. But at the same time, people just talk to you in a way or do things that you just think this is absurd.
There's no respect for your journey.
None.
And like you said, because we'll talk about this, like even as MCs, like back in the day, like we would literally, we're going, like, you see how you, like, everybody's territorial about their ends and who can come. Like, we would just go to any ends because you want to spit, like the rave's there, the radio's there, wherever. You're going into all kind of areas at all kind of times, crack asses, all kind of things for the love of what you do. Right? And you've come through that, these dangerous moments, all kind of dangerous moments, fights, shootings, robberies, everything.
Right? Some of the men you used to run with were like warmongers.
Right. So it's like, you think, wow, and man's come out of the back. The other side of that.
Pause. We don't even have a pause over here, but I'll add that one.
But we come out the other side of that, and you just think, right, like you said, we cross over. Not necessarily cross over, but we're doing other things now. We're responsible. We understand what our jobs are to do. And then, you just got someone who's just like, from nowhere, dealing with you in a way that is just like, and I haven't even come here on that. Like, I'm just trying to do some good business, speak nicely, and get on with my day. Like, so that frustration is actually mad. But like I was saying, going back to it, you just need to just not fall for the draw out, because it only impacts you at the end of the day.
Yeah.
On Friday, it's only you that gets impacted.
I don't know if we have to leave on that. I've got a question off the back of that, as parents, obviously that environment has kind of molded you, shaped you to who you've become today, Do you feel like your kids need to go through that?
No. My job is to make sure they never do.
Okay, but then what...
What builds character?
Yeah. Because I feel like those moments are what made me who I am today.
I think I can create trial for my son in a safe way, my son and daughter in a safe way. So it's a controlled environment. Like, I give the example of, like, I'll put my son, and we'll be walking somewhere, and I'll pick him up and put him in a locked park. And I'll be like, how are you going to get out? And I'll just like, sit there, how are you going to get out? And I'll walk off, And so he's 5.
All right, hold on.
Yeah. No, wait, hold on.
Yeah, nah, this is crazy.
That sounds mad, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he would have to look for things to jump on, and it makes you think in a non-linear way. Okay. That's really what we learned, is how to think in a non-linear way, because there were no options. Mm. So when I look at 30-year-olds now, I have a slight resentment. I'm like, you have no idea how privileged you are, because what you do wasn't even possible when I was growing up. Mm. It didn't even exist. So for my son, I want him to have trial where in a controlled environment where he's not actually abandoned, but he's thinking. So when it is in a scenario where it's like, what do I do here? He has some sort of terms of reference. The idea of putting him into genuine trauma where he can't watch Top Boy the full season. I haven't still watched the last. I can't finish it. Like, I'm just like, I'm tired of feeling this feeling that's happening. I don't need to create that for him to have the tools that I need to navigate. Also, I believe in like developing privilege for your children. Like, that's what you went through it for. So your children come out the other side and not have to do everything. I want to be able to be like, oh, you want to get into events? Oh, Taser, go shadow him for 3 months. Like, I had to shadow people for 3 years till I got the opportunity and went out on my own. Like, because it just didn't exist.
But that drive that you had, it's you had to stand there and be like, listen, I want to do this. Like you said, you were queuing up till you became the person that people were queuing for.
Mm.
You know what I'm trying to say? Like, you had to do it. Whereas when you just get a hookup, it's not the same. Yeah. You want to appreciate it.
But the difference is in what you're saying as well. Like, your child does know he's going home at the end of the day.
Away from this. Like, he knows this you're not going to leave him there.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's almost like, what's that game show that they've got from the Netflix film?
Oh, Squid Games.
Squid Games. They died on Squid Games.
Yeah.
Like, they get shot with a paint gun.
And they're like,
and then it's, you get me, but they go home, innit?
No, it's true. So it's really, really different. I saw a meme not too long ago, might have been a year ago. This is such a dad way of thinking, by the way. Because women have dads.
Yeah, mothers are never doing that.
There's no way in my mind that I'm going to create challenge for my child, right? But this dad put up a meme, or maybe it might have been a post of him saying, I taught my son a life lesson today.
Mm.
I gave him, let's say, £20 and told him, here you are, this is your money. And as he walked away, I robbed him of half of his money to tell him that the tax man will take half of your money. Now. No, that's a weird way of giving a life lesson.
That's a very dad thing to do, though.
That's a dad thing to do, isn't it?
Because but
it's good, though, because, like, for example, my daughter now, she got a whole heap of money for Christmas.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, daddy, I want this. You got money.
Where's your money?
No, but you got money.
Yeah.
She's like, no, but daddy, you normally buy it for me. Babes. No. There's like £300 in your purse.
Get out.
What is it that you want? I mean, I even said to her, she said she wanted a pair of Uggs. I said, go on the website. How much are the Uggs? She said, £140. I said, it just sounds like numbers, innit? Cool. How much are you willing to spend?
Mm.
She said, daddy, I can drop 80. I said, all right, cool. I'll match you with the 60, yeah? Now she wants to buy a ruler. go buy the ruler.
Yeah.
Buy Apple. Now you want to buy stuff because you have money.
Yeah.
You got to learn. Now when that hits zero, because like my brother's 14, he's in the same vein, yeah? Mm. So, but he's very generous. Like, he got, I think I got about £200. He bought a tracksuit, a pair of trainers, and it was my brother's birthday. My brother just, I'm younger than me, 3 days after Christmas. So he spent the rest of his money on buying him a gift.
Wow.
Right.
So my brother's like, why are you buying me a gift? Mm. So he actually gave the gift back and put the money up for the gift, gave it to him.
Right.
And I said to him, this ain't going to happen every day.
Mm.
don't finish the strategy now.
Yeah. Because they got to learn. Because even with me, the last time I asked my dad for money was when I was 16. Because when I asked him, he looked at me like, "Are you asking me for money for? Go outside and get it." I said, "Yeah, all right."
Mm.
And I went outside and started getting it.
Yeah. But my thing is that I think we had to go to almost deadly extremes. Like, how many times you almost go to jail or you're standing in the wrong place too long because you don't have and you're trying to get provisions? I think that's the risk. It increases the chances of me just falling through the trap. I'm literally one of a handful of people from my area that didn't die or go to jail. That's a real thing in my head of like how close it came often. Basically, it was one summer when my mum said, go get a job. I went to go work in Woolworths and I basically did the shift from 6 till 10 p.m. That was the scary hours outside for the summer. It was one of those hot summers where outside, that's when everything bad happens. So when I'm coming back from work and everyone's like, yeah, man, this person run this one, fought this person. And I was like,
That window
saved
summer.
Me for that, for those summers. And I think like it shouldn't have to be that close of a finite line. Because anything can happen. Happening is happening. Mm. But I don't think I want to push them to that degree where it's now unsafe and you may not have your son or your child in that particular way. I'm more prepared to create an environment where they're padded a little bit and they got to learn to navigate the padding.
Yeah. Do you think your kids should go through?
No, my oldest son didn't. He tried to do the bad boy thing and I had to kind of tell him, you're not built that way.
Mm.
And that, like, and there's too many youths out here losing their lives that think they are built or they're too scared to admit that they're not built that way. You really don't have to go through that experience.
Well, for me, that's why I feel you have to really instill interests in them from early.
100%.
Like,
100%.
Get them into things, sports, whatever. Like, because these are the things that helped me.
Yeah.
Like, away from
having interest
anything that I was doing outside. Because, yes, I would get into it, like, here and there. But I played football. Football was always my base. Do you get what I'm saying? So there would be them nights where I'm training or I've gone off to thing and I've missed key moments where it was like peak. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or, you know, then there's music, then there's these things. There's all these things that, like, if you don't, like, going back to what Marvin's saying, but it's what I'm thinking about now, where how do you bring them up? Because I do want them to have that character and have experience.
But don't you think they already, because that's what I was going to say, I think you are who you are anyway, regardless of challenge or not, you are who you are. And
so this is where I get to. I start thinking about that because I think, right, I want you to have that. So do we move back to the ends? Or like, not really, but you know, you think, do you have to do these things?
Mm.
And then you think, well, no, you don't, because you are who you are. And also, I think we're just too used to thinking like how I'm thinking as well. Like, other people don't bring up their children like that. It's just normal.
Because it's survival.
They have to build.
It's just survival. Thing. With us, it was survival.
It's
like,
survival. But
if you don't have to put a child through the challenge of thinking that they are always having to survive every time they go outside or go to school and they can avoid all that, they might have a platform to go off and do better things. So,
well, it's the thing. They need to be challenged.
Yeah,
that's like, what I'm saying. So whether it's through their interests, hobbies, whatever, have these things going on and they will feel challenged. They will build character through, because things happen within these things.
Yeah.
You might play sport. You might want to do dance or arts or whatever. And there's going to be obstacles within those fields that is going to make you, you know, come out of it either way. Like, do you get what I'm saying? But you've learned something.
Like, for example, when you were playing football, did you ever face a challenge? For example, you thought you should have started managing
and
playing.
This is what I'm saying.
Like, so I can't teach that.
Yeah. You can't teach that.
They have to go through that and however they deal with it. I'm here to guide you and comfort you.
You're going
to
deal with racism.
You're going to have to deal with that. It's stuff like that is what I'm talking about.
And a culture thing as well. So I remember with football, so I was talented at football, but I wasn't into football lifestyle after football. So I wouldn't hang out with footballers afterwards. I wouldn't go to the bar necessarily. I can't get orange juice and cut. Do you get what I'm saying? I don't speak with the parents and all that. And my parents didn't come to, like, it wasn't, I wasn't in that. I loved football. I went to play football, then I left. But what I didn't realize, I didn't understand, that part gets you up the ladder
yeah.
also.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
You
know
what
yeah,
I'm saying? Because
yeah, yeah.
you will see it when the mum's friending up the manager and, yeah. And all these things. This dad knows that one and da 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 da. Yeah. Like, you see it, innit? Yeah. So,
but there's no way you could work that out as a young person.
No, you
and,
can't.
And that's why parents do have to be present in their son's or children's life to a certain extent. Because I know that if my mum was coming to football with me, certain behaviours that I was displaying and that wouldn't have got displayed and whatnot. And then there would have been, Darwood, he's talented, but he's always fighting. That was my record.
Yeah.
I would fight. You did a bad challenge on me, I'd wait for you afterwards and I'd punch you up. Like that was my character.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't be trusted. So I just didn't get any further.
So we have 4 minutes. I mean, we don't really have 4 minutes, but I'm just taking 4 minutes. So basically, we have 30 seconds. I know her face is...
She's giving you the signal bare times.
I know. I just keep looking at Jay with intention, like, but I just get this final one out. But very, very quickly, so Complex did their top 50 MCs. I thought most of it was kind of there. A couple of people I didn't like being missed out. I don't like people whitewashing Tiny. I think he did loads. And to the degree, Tinchy, when there was no music money, they were making money and creating a path, and they got left out of that and made lots of hits. Your top three of all time, you can't include yourself, obviously. your top three of all time, very quickly, your top three MCs, UK, all time. Taser.
Kano.
Oh, I don't even
know. Best out.
All time.
Wiley.
I'd put Getz there, too.
You're telling me to just... These are competitors of mine.
It's going to be difficult for you as well.
Yeah, like, I've got to big you up now.
Yeah.
Nah, I got love for everyone, to be fair.
Not everyone.
Nah, dude. I ain't got no problems with not one of them. I don't know. All time is mad because there's a... man's been here for time as well before man was even active. There was your rap scenes and your
rap MC.
That's what I'm saying. To not mention or not ping those people into the conversation is so dismissive.
But you got Wiley as one.
Wiley as one.
Your Kano gets
Wretch.
Wretch.
Ooh, yeah. I was gonna say Wretch, but because you said Wretch, I have to say Giggs. There's a window of like old school Giggs. Yeah. It's undeniable.
Mm.
But you know what? Regardless of what, how that made you feel, a man has transcended through
errors
and has maintained. Do you get what I'm saying? And at the top, and obviously all those walls he's had to break down. And that's why I'm choosing the people I've chose. There's definitely loads of honourable mentions and people that could be in there as well. But you know, Wiley changed the game. Giggs changed the game. I just say Wretch.
Even the way Giggs is bringing his son through,
it's
a sick feeling.
No one's ever done it.
Yeah, that's a sick feeling because it's like whatever I've learned and whatever I've changed in the industry, you're gonna get. That's another example of what you're saying. Like, so Giggs has gone through the whole getting cancelled and getting blackballed and blah blah for his son to come through. His son's gonna have pretty much an easy ride.
Yeah,
but is that what he wants for his son?
No, but he's still got to prove it. But the thing is, only us believe we have to prove it and it has to be hard and we have to... Some people are just like,
just cut through, have fun.
Yeah, Diggy Simmons, bruv. Go on, be just Diggy Simmons sometimes. Darwood, real quick, go on.
Klashnikov. The start of Dizzy. First two albums.
That's what I'm saying. He should be...
And then it's between Wiley and Skepta for me. Skepta gets underrated because he's not, everyone thinks he's not the most lyrical, but I think having clarity is a skill and whatnot. So
For Skepta, sure.
Like, his clarity is just...
Ro, do you want to just talk about musicians?
No.
You done with me? Okay, cool. Just to be clear,
is there a fine or something when you go over time?
Not really, no, but it's just ethical approach to things. My number one is Wretch. And that will probably never change. Two is Kane. Three is Getz. I think there's something about Getz that I will never not enjoy.
So good.
And of course.
There's so much to it. And he's such a richness and dynamic in the way he does things. And he's so intelligent. And that's not what people even identify him for. But there's a lot there. So they're
but his growth as well. Because when he started, and then every person that he's lined up with, he's improved. And
you have to get sharper.
I love Kano, but I think gets
surpassed.
Like
you said, there was a lot of man beside him that was supposed to go and was on that trajectory more than him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And he's kind of outlasted that.
All right, cool. Well, look, thank you for listening to this podcast.
One more topic.
Thank you to all my guests, Taser Black, Jason Black, Ramantha Bota, and for Darwood Grace. If you want to email us your feelings and thoughts about this podcast, it's hello@dopeblack.org. If you want to send us some DMs about dilemmas, please do so at dopeblackdaz on Instagram. Also be aware that we have our website, dopeblack.org. And you can listen to all the blogs and all of our podcasts as well. But make sure you subscribe. We are also on YouTube, so you should be seeing me say this, hopefully. We are on YouTube also. We actually just surpassed our first 1,000 followers, subscribers on there. So that's nice. That didn't take very long. And long may that continue. And also thank you to Spotify for giving us this space. And long may it continue. Thank you.
Bye.
Wicked.
Bye, bruv.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.